Congregation, is the first Sunday of Advent today. We think and consider already the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, his incarnation, that he became flesh, took upon himself the human nature in order to suffer and to die. It's also the administration of the Lord's Supper. The Lord coming close to his people, being with them, giving fellowship with them, being there for them. And both Advent and the Lord's Supper, we find our text this morning. John 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So far. Beholding the Word that became flesh. Three thoughts. The invisible Word. The text says, and the Word was made invisible. Is secondly, becoming visible flesh. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And in the third place, beholding the fullness. And he beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So again, beholding, may the Lord give that to me this morning, beholding the Word that became flesh, the invisible flesh, rather the invisible Word, becoming visible flesh, beholding its fullness. Congregation, John is sometimes compared to an eagle. Flies high, soaring in the sky, goes so high, so deep are his thoughts, and he speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Word. The Word became flesh, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the Word. Explain that, minister, the Word. Now the Lord said in Genesis 1, let there be light. He spoke, and there was light. That speak is the Word. The Lord Jesus involved in that. He's the co-creator, the Word. The Word was with God and was God, the Holy Trinity. The Lord Jesus Christ from eternity, no beginning, the Father, he is the Word. How foolish to not believe in the Trinity. It's so clear. In verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was not only with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. By the Word. By the Lord Jesus Christ. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, the invisible God. Invisible, that's hard. The Jewish people around the Mount Sinai wanted to see something, and Aaron made him a golden calf. They wanted to see it visibly. Something concrete, something tangible, something they could relate to, something they could worship. The Lord is rather invisible for that. I was thinking of 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, the things that are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. Sometimes you think, if you see something that is real, it's concrete, that's something you can relate to, invisible things are so vague, so distant, so unreal. It's the opposite. Visible things are temporal. The invisible God is eternal. And the eternal God is a holy God, a spirit, a holy God. He cannot have communion with people, the sinful people. He's too holy for that. He's a righteous God. He must punish sin. He must keep people at a distance. He must condemn sin and people must perish because of sin. He's a holy God. He takes himself so seriously. And that God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, was made flesh. So this morning hour we see that. The Lord Jesus Christ giving his own flesh, indicating that God became man, incarnation. Carnes means flesh, carnes means meat, carnes means muscles, carnes means the body. So he became incarnate in the flesh, the in-flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our text says, and the Word was made flesh. Our second thought. Flesh sometimes means sin. I'm carnal, fleshy, sold under sin, and God's children know what that means. That flesh is sinful flesh. But sometimes flesh means weakness, the body. And so the Lord Jesus Christ did not become sinful, sinful flesh, not fleshy and carnal, but he became weak with a body, mortal and breakable. Very impressive. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's precious, dwelt among us. Dwelling among us, it says in the original, and he set up his tent among us. What does that mean? Why, that word used, the word tent or tabernacle, he tabernacled among us. Well, there are different explanations to that. Some say you put up a tent somewhere in the backyard, that's temporal. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he temporarily lived in a tent, the tent of his body, on earth, only for the time being, which is not true. Because he still has his tent, still has the body in heaven. It's not a temporary thing, it's an eternal thing. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ became immortal. Well then, some say it indicates weakness. The weakness of the flesh, he became a tent. But the congregation, he still has his glorified body with him. It's more this, closeness. Think of the people of Israel in the desert, in Sinai. See all those tents of the Israelites. All the tribes, all 12 tribes, in a huge field, huge desert. And in the midst of them was the tabernacle, the Lord saying, indicating, I want to dwell with you, be among you in your midst. I'm close to you, I am your people, I dwell among you, I don't forget about you, I'm your comfort, I'm your hope, I'm your God. So think of those tents of the Israelites in the wilderness, and the Lord's tent in the middle. And so the Word was made flesh, a tent, and dwelt among us, saying, I want to be close to you. I see communion. You may become my people. Is that not a wonder? Also this morning, that the Lord Jesus Christ is still the same and speaks also this morning in the Lord's Supper, I want to dwell with you, put my tent among you, seek your communion, We've not forgotten about you, my people. So the Lord seeks his people this morning to dwell with them, be their God, so they are his people. Seems so impossible, right? And God's still in the week of preparation, says their own hearts, and find out that they don't qualify. They've only sinned to present to the Lord. It becomes so hopeless, so impossible to attend. So many arguments against it, so much why they cannot come to the table as unholy people to the holy table. But then the Lord Jesus indicating this morning, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among you. The Lord seek that communion yet. It was his desire to dwell with his people. And so also this morning it's his desire to dwell with his people again. And still to be among them, to dwell with them. So why? Young people, why? Did the Lord Jesus become flesh? What's the purpose of becoming flesh? He said, well, to be close to these people, yes, more. Who had sinned? People had sinned. Not angels sinned only, or the people sinned, and he came to save people from their sins, so he has become human, to save humans, to be a substitute for sinners, to take their place. That's Advent. The Lord Jesus indicating, I take your place. You must perish, you must die, I take your place, I am your substitute. In the flesh, he became flesh, not that we, the Savior. What else? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was supposed to obey. As substitute, he took upon himself the human flesh in order to obey the law. Here I am to do the will of God. Thy law is in my inner parts. He took the law and fulfilled the law and obeyed the law completely, most perfectly. He did it so well to save the people that ruined it. Are you one of those? Only be able to ruin it. Only be able to spoil it, only be able to change it around and disappoint the Lord and grieve the Lord. Also one of those. Ashamed of your sins, broken hearted. The Lord Jesus Christ says, but I did all well. I can save you and cover you with my obedience, with my righteousness. So Advent and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christmas, means the Lord Jesus became flesh, be a substitute, and to actively obey the law instead of his people, in their place for them. And more. The Lord Jesus was born, you know why? Children? The Lord Jesus was born in order to die. That's Advent and the Lord's Supper. He became flesh in order to die, to dwell among us, and to absorb the wrath of God against sin, to suffer, to be thirsty, to have pain, to be sweating, to be hungry, to experience God's wrath, being forsaken of the Father. Lord Jesus Christ, he took it all in to save the people from their sins. He suffered, yes, he also died. So that's in our text. And the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. Third thought. And we beheld his glory, became visible. the Lord Jesus had revealed himself to the disciples and they saw him, the Son of Man. Look at verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So the Lord Jesus Christ declared him, explained him, made him visible, showed, revealed him, declared him to the hearts of his people. He became visible. And what was their response? What is the true response of a child of the Lord? It's in our text. And we beheld his glory. It doesn't say we saw his glory. No, we beheld his glory. That's different. Beholding in original language means intensely looking, searching, investigating, finding out, holy interest, hunger. I want to see this. I want to examine this. I want to understand this. I have a hunger to understand this and to come close, to behold his glory, the glory of the only begotten, the Father, full of grace and truth, of truth, sincerity, holiness, doctrine, and also grace. Look at 16. Of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Beholding. You look at this chapter, there are a few more words close to beholding. But I explained the beholding a little bit better. Not only beholding, it's also receiving. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Two words there in verse 12, receiving and believing. What is the opposite of receiving? Depends. Two words, receiving. Sometimes the opposite of receiving is stealing. You did not receive it, you stole it. That's serious. Stealing. But that's not the word here. The opposite is not stealing. The opposite is rejecting. You receive it, you reject it. You say, no, I don't want it. I'm not going to accept this. I have no interest in this. I let it go. I forego it. Or you say, I may receive it in an empty, sinful hand. That's the word. A people that receives him, they don't only hear about him, have a quick look at him. Oh yeah, I know that. They behold him and they receive him. Like at the table, the communicant receives, right? I handed out the bread and I see their hands come out and they receive it. And that's for them that have received before, have received with their empty hand the Lord Jesus Christ. Only for them is the Lord's Supper, for them that have received it. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. That's necessary to receive him. Have you received him? So that beholding is a specific beholding, a beholding with a hunger and a thirst and a willingness to receive. So it's beholding, receiving. And the third word at the end of 12 is believing, even to them that believe on his name. So it is beholding in faith, right? And it is receiving in faith. It's the eyes of faith and the faith. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. And we received him and believed in him as the only begotten the Father, full of grace and truth. Not just a little bit, the fullness of it. For the chief of the sinners, for someone so deep in sin, in the ruts of sin, and Lord rescues out of those sins, the gross sins, the many sins, the hardening of sin. Look at verse 16 again. And of his fullness. Also at the table this morning, in the preaching this morning, his fullness is filled to the brim. There is plenteous redemption. This is he abundantly pardons. Fullness of grace and truth. You can trust. And of his fullness have all we received. See that? Received. It's the opposite of rejecting. Received. Grace for grace. The one grace after the other. It doesn't stop. Grace after grace after grace after grace. The fullness of it. You've received grace for grace. That's the joy of God's people. And the wonder. And that amazing grace. There's such a fullness for such a rebellious, worldly, ungodly people. So this morning, Advent, the Word became flesh. This morning, the Lord's Supper, that flesh was broken. That flesh suffered. That flesh died. That flesh absorbed the wrath of God. This morning, the Lord's Supper. For them that by God's grace are emptied from their self-righteousness, have nothing to stand on themselves, nothing to present to the Lord, they're poor and needy ones, contrite in spirit, broken of heart. But they have received. And they have beheld, and they have also believed in his name, and they're God's people. So this morning the Lord wants in a sense to dwell with us also. He wants in the midst of his people to dwell among them, to tabernacle among us this morning in the tokens of bread and wine. In the week of preparation, I don't know what your conclusion was. Maybe you said, I cannot attend. Look at it then, listen, and say, oh Lord, I am not receiving this. I'm not believing this. I don't know about this. Stand outside and don't attend if you don't know those things, and pray to the Lord, say, Lord, oh, be merciful to me, a sinner, and cry to the Lord for more mercy. If there's any mercy. If there's no mercy at all, ask the Lord to remember you in his goodness for his name's sake. But if you have done confession, if you're a member of this church in good standing and also have a divine right, you say, I cannot deny those things. Think about this. The Lord saying, I want to dwell with you. This do in remembrance of me. Amen.